On Praying Without Ceasing. The Word tells us that we should pray without ceasing. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have heard supposed pastors and ministers tell their little flock that this is to be taken figuratively, because anyone knows that this is simply impossible to do. I not only disagree, rather, I believe that this is the single most important concept that there is, aside from loving one another with self-sacrificial love as a lifestyle. What has happened is that they have confused petitioning with continuous intercourse, because they fundamentally think of their religion as a way to make connection with some great Santa Claus in the sky, Bacchus. Therefore, prayer is petition, so far as they are concerned. The same mentality, which will read out of some stale old prayer book and expect that this will have any power to get anything accomplished. For most of us, it is during times of intense emotional and mental and physical crisis that we actually learn how to pray in a way which can be pleasing to our Lord, God, and Creator. This being one of the benefits of a life full of crisis. I think of times when the life of a loved one is hanging in the balance, or a time when I am trapped alone in the wilderness, or doing very imminent wholesale destruction. For example, being on a sinking ship, or having a huge storm bearing down on you with certain death and judgment written all over it. We have a saying that there are no atheists in the middle of a huge storm as their ship begins taking on large amounts of water, trapped like a rat and knowing that the time is quickly approaching for a reckoning with your ultimate reality, whatever that may be. So far, I have been talking about how to pray. The Word says that the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Notice the kind of prayer which is spoken of. Fervent prayer, intense prayer, focused prayer. And not just any old person doing the praying, but a righteous person, a person who stands right before God. Sounds like a consecrated life to me. But this is really not what I am talking about when I talk about praying without ceasing. Here I am speaking of something which is indeed rooted in these same ideas of intensity and right living, but the without ceasing part tells us that this must be something which we can do continuously at all times and in all manner of circumstances. In order to be done without ceasing, it seems that it must be done in a manner which does not require us to stop everything until finished. Rather, my idea is that what is being spoken of here is an inner conversation with our God, one that goes on continuously. In my own life, I know that I converse with our God and His blessed Son nearly every minute of every day. I have trained myself to monitor every single thought as it originates, and then to weigh it and analyze it. And then begins the discussion with our Lord above. Sometimes I am in a monologue form, as if reciting a soliloquy, while at other times I believe that the Lord takes part in a two-way conversation, and at still other times our Lord will show me object lessons by which He challenges my thoughts, sometimes to make a point, and at other times to show me either how right or how wrong I am or have become. The Word of God says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is faith, belief, which becomes saving faith by means of an ongoing process. Note how it says substance and evidence. Faith is not blind faith. It is not something for which we have no empirical experience. This is where our prayer life comes into play. It is where our Lord can and does make himself known to us. As he shows himself more and more, we will respond more and more. Upon realizing that our living God provides us with guidance, we soon enough learn to seek that guidance. Soon enough, a strong believer will become dependent upon that guidance, it being a sort of a feedback loop. More asking and waiting on the Lord turns into more refined guidance, which turns into more dependence upon that guidance, which is now causing our God to become very real to us. Faith/belief becoming stronger by virtue of this process. As can be readily imagined, it will not take long before your internal relationship with our living God becomes something which you cherish so greatly that you want to do nothing that will interfere with that. As we draw closer to him, we become more and more desirous of pleasing him, we being no longer driven and motivated by rules and regulations, but by intense and very real self-sacrificial love. God is love, and to be in his presence is to know love, to have his love directed toward our innermost being will cause a resonance deep within us as we become less worldly/carnally minded and begin to reflect his heavenly glory with each thought and action. Our thought life begins to matter more and more to us as we soon enough realize that this is where the real battleground lies. We learn by experience and by our union/contact with him that we must take every thought into captivity and that we must subject it before it subjects us. We learn to take each aberrant and abhorrent thought at its very genesis and lay it upon the altar within our soul in order to reframe it or to destroy it, along with its power over our future actions. We thereby learning of spiritual warfare. No action being allowed until we have contained and isolated the thought and then taken it before our Heavenly Father for close examination and scrutiny, ever seeking our Lord's guidance. This is real prayer life, not some reciting of poetry and incantation-like formulae, but an ongoing discourse and seeking for instruction and illumination coming from him who made us and who well knows our inward parts and how they have become so perverse. Now, instead of flailing about and never knowing what is going on in us and around us, we grow more deeply in love with he who guides us and is willing to come and reason with us regarding our sordid and pathetic condition. Always wanting to please, but never being able to. Always wanting to do right, but with wrong somehow always coming to predominate just when we thought we had it all worked out. Thousands of good intentions being wiped out in an instant because we should have stopped and sought counsel from him, instead of acting while unchecked and following some fatal inner impulse to our immediate and oftentimes permanent undoing. Two choices standing before us, one being to stop and wait on our heavenly lover to guide us with input, while the other choice is to just go forward without stopping and weighing, without seeking his guidance, and without waiting on him, flying headlong into our own ultimate and very sure undoing and destruction. Can you see, dear reader, why our prayer life must be continuous? If I am not praying without ceasing, how can this process take place? Less internal discourse? While actions take place based upon thoughts which should have been dealt with long before they become actions? It really being pray without ceasing or face the consequences of utter ruination caused by our fallen nature becoming our guide in place of his heavenly wisdom and guidance. In this regard, allow me to remind you of the process by which we grow. We first let our sin find us out. This is your thought life. As we think, we begin to realize that all is not well deep inside of us. We therefore allow and encourage the Holy Spirit to put the light on this darkness within. Instead of running from it and hiding from it, we work hard to bring it out into the open, where we can take a good, long, hard look at it. We bring it to the altar before our loving and forgiving God Almighty, and we examine it closely, together. We come in reason, together, as we plead with our Heavenly King to help us to understand and come to terms with our own colossal failings. We don't play games, and we don't play hide and seek, this ongoing process being far too important to allow it to degenerate into fake sanctimoniousness. Based upon utter denial of our true inward condition, we acknowledge our wrongness with forthrightness, what the word terms as confessing your sins, that is to be homologeo. In the original Greek, homo meaning same, while logeo means word or saying. We are to be at one word with him, meaning that we are both calling it the same thing. We both saying that I am coming up short. No whitewashing, no pretending, no make-believe. No saying that bad is good, or that black is white, or that down is up. No moral relativism. It's okay because of whatever carnal circumstance. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Not a lot of room for moral relativism. He is unchanging. What is wrong now is not going to somehow become okay because of whatever. Upon completion of our truthful acknowledgement of our utter failing, the word tells us that our Lord will lift the sin off of us. This being the meaning of the word aphiemi, which is translated forgive. He being faithful to forgive, meaning faithful to separate me from the sin or to lift the sin off of us, thereby freeing us from the bondage which our shortcomings are sure to put us into. This is the framework of our prayer life. Because our thoughts, deeds, and actions are continuous, so must be our taking of same into captivity. So long as your thinking is taking place, the above referenced process must also be taking place. Continuous thoughts creating the need for continuous discourse with our Heavenly Father, praying continuously without ceasing, without which we will continuously suffer consequence of our failure to do so. Soon enough, realizing that not only is it possible to pray without ceasing, it is imperative